Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
I believe whenever we get together as believers that we ought to have a service full of life. You know, I grew up in a wonderful denominational church. It was great. I learned a lot, but it was like kind of going to a funeral service every Sunday. I mean, we didn't talk. We had to whisper. We had to be quiet. You couldn't sneeze just about. But I love coming into this because, I mean, you can stay at home. You can go out to breakfast. You can be in bed. You can be, as Bob said, watching Christian TV. But there's nothing like being around other believers who have life. There's just something about it. So would you do this just for a minute? Just stand up. Okay, repeat after me. Say, I'm quick. I'm sharp. I'm bright. I'm smart. I'm extremely good looking. With attitude. I'm extremely good looking. And I'm a major blessing to my community. And because of the work on the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in my life, today is going to be a changing day for me. Okay, now poke the other person in the arm, not hard, next to you, and go, you are changing today. And then you may be seated. You know, I'm not sure how many of you have ever had this scenario happen to you, but try to relate. Come along with me as best you can. So I'm getting ready for church on a Sunday morning. I've got breakfast. I fed the dogs. Bob's in studying. I'm getting ready to come on down. I do my hair. I put my cutest little Sunday outfit on. I get my makeup, and I've got this brand new lipstick called Ruby Woo. Looks something like this. Yes. So it's bright red, kind of like this. So I'm all set to go. So I'm down here talking to people. We're singing, having an amazing service. We do the 60-second countdown. We're giving high fives. We're giving knuckle bumps like that. We're talking. We're praying. Bob does a great message. We have an altar call. I'm at the back door. I'm greeting people. We're just having a great time. We're praying. So I go home and go, man, that was just a great service. All around, awesomely wonderful. I get home, and I'm leaning in. I'm taking off an earring. Are you relating so far? And I look in the mirror, and oh my gosh, there's this red streak of lipstick on my lip. There's Ruby Roo right there. And I'm going, shoot, how many people did I say hi to? My husband, my friends, and they all see this big lipstick thing. No, did like that to me. They just smiled and let me have it all morning long. I mean, come on, you guys. How many of you have ever walked around with a tag hanging off your clothes? Or like one collar's up and one collar's down? We used to have a secretary, Lynn Hales, and remember those big pants? I don't know what they're called. Well, she came one morning with both feet in one, and the other was flopping. Here's the sad part. Nobody caught it. She didn't catch it till she got home the next afternoon and went, okay, you guys, I had a leg flopping like this, and she's walking around because she's in. But that's how big the darn things were. Okay, something like that has probably happened to everybody here. If not, you haven't experienced nothing yet. Wait till you get out and you do something like that. But here's the thing. That's really frustrating when you think you have it all together. I mean, you know you have it all together. There's nothing wrong. And then you find out something big was really missing, like that. So if that's ever happened to you, you have got an awful lot in common with the church at Laodicea. They didn't know they were lukewarm until God came and told them. Their heart and their actions and what they said did not match up with what God wanted for them. And so God, of course, being who he is, comes and tells them. But here's the definition of lukewarm. Here it is. Lukewarm, those who claim to know God but live as though he doesn't exist in all or certain areas of their life. So I don't think a person has to be lukewarm in everything they do, but we can have little areas where we're kind of blind and we don't see. It's like, gosh, we could give more of this over to the Lord. They're kind of lukewarm in that. And so the first time we hear about being lukewarm is in the book of Revelation. And it's the church at Laodicea, and here's what Jesus says to the church. Here's what he writes. I know your deeds. In other words, I know what you guys have been doing all week. Does anybody here think God is blind to what we're doing? No. He knows what we do. That you are neither hot nor cold. Here's the thing. Both serve a purpose. both cold and hot. I love a nice cold iced tea, and I love hot coffee, okay? You're neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to vomit you. Now, here's the thing, out of my mouth. For some reason, picture these pious King James translators translating the Bible from Greek to English, and they get to that word, spit you out of my mouth. He actually said in spew, the word is vomit. And I think they got to the Greek and they went, we can't say that. We can't use the word vomit, but that's what it really is. So they go, okay, I mean, just think about these guys. But they use the word spew or spit, but the word is vomit. He made them so sick that Jesus said, I vomit you out of my mouth. So here's what we're going to find out this morning. Coffee. How many of you had a cup of hot coffee this morning? How many had a cup of cold coffee this morning? Okay, so like Ruth, do you like your coffee hot, warm, or lukewarm?
Hot.
Chris, hot, warm, lukewarm?
Hot.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. Hot, warm?
Hot.
Hot.
Hot. Hot, warm, or lukewarm?
Hot.
And cold?
I like cold.
Okay, okay. Okay, Ray, hot, warm, or lukewarm?
Hot.
How about you? Hot, warm, lukewarm?
Hot.
Hot. I don't drink coffee.
You don't drink coffee? We'll pray for you later. Okay, hot, warm.
Coffee.
No coffee? Oh, my gosh. Frank, hot, warm, or lukewarm?
I like it hot, but it's usually warm when I get to it.
We'll pray for you later. Okay, Reggie, hot, warm, or lukewarm?
Hot.
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 Hot. Okay, okay. Who here likes it hot? Raise your hand. Who here likes it cold? Raise your hand. Okay, okay. Okay. How many like it lukewarm? Raise your hand. No, I knew there'd be some of you. We'll pray for you later. Find me later. Okay, well, hit the lights. Watch this.
Well, let me get our coffee. So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need it.
Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot.
Okay, you got it? Okay, here's the deal. So here's what's going on with Laodicea. They were a huge city 2,000 years ago, big, and they didn't have a lot of water. So 6 miles away is a town called Hierapolis. Hierapolis was known for having hot springs, hot water. People came from all over to soak in these amazing hot baths. They were soothing. Actually, it says millions of people came from all over to go to the city Hierapolis and soak in these hot waters. And the other side, they had Colossus. Colossus was known for cold water. It was cool, it was soothing, it was refreshing, it was awesome and wonderful. So here's what happens. Laodicea needs water, so they build these aqueducts. So give me the picture. You're not going to believe these. 6 miles this water travels through pipes, over hill, over dale, up and down aqueducts. By the time it gets to Laodicea, guess what? It's not hot. It's not cold. It's putrid. It's lukewarm. It's dirty. It's revolting. And it made people sick. Literally, they would spit it out of their mouths. There was jokes about the water at Laodicea because it was so terrible. So Jesus comes along to this apathetic church. They're spiritually just out of it. And what he does is he wants to relate. I'm going to relate in the context and the spirituality to something you can understand. So let's update that verse. Here's how we're going to do it. If you were hot, like the springs at Hierapolis, you bring spiritual healing, restoration, comfort to people. If cold, like the waters at Colossus, you would bring refreshing, you'd encourage people. It's like having coffee or iced tea. They're both wonderful. But he says this, both hot and cold have a use. But Laodicea, because you're lukewarm, just like you spit out those lukewarm waters that are coming through the pipes for 6 miles, I'm spitting you out of my mouth because you guys are revolting. That's what he said to him. But you think, okay, as if this wasn't bad enough, Jesus isn't done with them. Because the city at Laodicea was huge, it was wealthy, it had big public baths, it had stadiums for sports, it had theaters, it had shopping malls. Look at these pictures. I mean, these are 2,000 years old pictures. Give me the next one. Just keep them going. Yes, look at this. Look at this. This was an amazing city. And so here's what was going on there. They had a banking system like nobody else. I don't know if it was the interest rate or what it was. They were so wealthy that people came from other cities to bank at Laodicea. They also had a production of this beautiful, glossy black wool. And they're not quite sure, did they breed a certain kind of sheep or did they dye it? But this stuff was expensive. It was gorgeous. They shipped it out as far away as Egypt. They were known for this awesome fabric. And third, they had medical schools. Plural, medical schools in Laodicea. And the main thing they were known for, they had an eye salve. And it said that no matter what your problem was, they would put this eye salve on you and you would be healed. So they were wealthy beyond belief. They had awesome businesses and production going out. They were medically up to date. But look what Jesus comes and says to him. After he's told him he's going to vomit them out, he says this. You say, I'm rich. I have acquired wealth. I don't need a thing. But you do not realize. Stop right there. They didn't even realize. So turn to someone and go, they had no idea. Just tell them. They had no idea. They didn't even, you don't even realize you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you. Listen, this is God. I'm telling you guys. Buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. White clothes to wear. Isn't that interesting? So you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Here's the problem. The wealth and the success and the fame of their city had blinded them into the fact that they were poor and impoverished in the sight of the Lord. They had just gone into spiritual complacency. So God comes along and goes, you are wretched, you are pitiful, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. It's like, oh my gosh, think about that for a minute. What does it take for God to come and tell somebody that you are pathetic? Jesus came down and told them that. You know, I thought about this yesterday, and I thought, I know God well enough to know. He had sent a Billy Graham. He had already sent an Elijah, a Jeremiah, a Jonah. He'd sent somebody to tell him. He'd sent the best music band in the world. Listen to this. I got to wake you guys up spiritually. I mean, what does it take to pack a place out like this on a Sunday morning? There are Christians today, wonderful people at home. It's like, I go, thanks. I needed that. I need to get to church. Stung just a little. But you know what? What does it take today to wake people up? It's the same thing back there. And Jesus is trying to say, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how successful your business is, no matter what good you are offering to society without the Lord in each one of those, think what they could be with God influencing them. You are nothing. You are spiritually dead. You're spiritually lukewarm. And this is what he wants. Give me that big old heart. God wants your heart to be on fire. I don't care if you're giving out a cup of cold water in Jesus' name or you're hot and you're giving out a cup of hot coffee on a cold day. He loves you enough that he does not want you to remain lukewarm. It is not a good place to be. He wants a place hot for him. So he goes on, and here's what he says in verse 19. This is message. I love it. The people I love, say I love. The people I love. Now turn to someone and say, he loves even you. Okay. The people I love, look what he does. I call to account. I prod, correct, and guide so that they'll what? Live at their best. Oh, my gosh. God wants you to thrive in every area of your life. He wants you to thrive in your business, thrive in your money, thrive with your health, thrive with your kids, in your marriage, in everything you do. He wants them to live at their best. So he says this, up on your feet, about face, run after God. Run after God. So what are the areas that we're lukewarm in? Honestly, I could have had a list of 100. We would lock the doors. We'd be here all day long because there's a lot of areas. It isn't just a life that's lukewarm. I think the more I've studied this out, it's like categories of a life. And we all have them. Okay, so on your study sheet, I'm going to have you fill it in. I only put 6. Trust me, we could have 106. Number one, people who are lukewarm are more concerned with impressing people than living for God. Do I fit in? Am I okay? Are my shoes cute? Does my hair look all right? I go watch the same movies you watch. That's great. No, it's not, maybe. But you're fitting in. See what I'm saying? So every single area. And you know what? We have never been called to be a subculture. We've been called to be a counterculture. That's why we prayed about the abortion issue today. We need to hit that thing. So we're not fitting in. You won't fit in a lot of times. But you know what? Jesus didn't fit in. Number two, lukewarm people don't seek God before making decisions. Oh my gosh, what do we want to leave God out of? I want to make a decision. If I'm going to buy a new house, if I'm going to marry somebody with my kids, what school they're going to go to, every decision. When I had chemo, Bob and I prayed about every little thing we did. Rex Crane said this when he was here. Give me that next overhead. I'll read it to you. God won't bless what you won't do. And I always add this, and I say, God won't bless what you won't give him. You know, why not give him every area of our life if we want it to be blessed? Okay, number three, lukewarm people don't share their faith very often, if at all. Now, what did the Apostle Paul say? Remember, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the good thing we're meeting. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. He was out there putting it out. How many of you know, this may be a revelation to some of you, but in 100 years, none of you are going to be here. Is that a surprise to anybody? Now, here's another one. In 100 years, none of your friends, none of your family, none of your acquaintances will be on this earth. They're going to be one place or another. So why are we so afraid to share our faith when as Christians we believe eternity is eternity? I mean, from when this baby's conceived all the way when you die, you're going to be going somewhere. If there's anything that Christians should be passionate about, it should be sharing our faith. I mean, listen, if you'd follow me around this week, I'm not Billy Graham, but I sure try. When I check out at a checker, hey, I'm getting this stuff because our church is having a big potluck, and we're having this amazing guy for our Valentine thing. I mean, I put it out there. If they want to get that little hook, I'll keep on talking. But we need to do that. Be on fire about sharing your faith. Number four, lukewarm people don't give financially to the church. The Bible says this, your heart is going to follow your finances. So if you have stocks, I bet you're checking that stock market every single day because you have an investment there. Part of your heart is there. That's not bad. If you bought any gold, maybe you bought a couple Cougarans, you're going to check the price of gold because a little bit of your heart is there because you invested in it. When you invest in church, you're going to be here. You're going to be checking. How are we doing? Are we healthy? Yes, because part of your heart is here. Give financially. Number five, lukewarm Christians want to know how far can they push the limit with God? Can I do this and God still loves me? Can I have this addiction and God still loves me? Can I have this habit and God still loves me? And after a while, they're at a tipping point. Yes, God loves you. He loved the church at Laodicea. He just wanted them to get back on track. But we do this. We want to be part of the world. We want to be part of God's kingdom. Back and forth and back and forth. And my question is, why do you want to be part of the world? Why would a person want to know how far they can get away with bad things and have God still love them? Man, I want a heart of fire. I don't want anything. See this door? I don't want anything on the other side of that door blocking me and God. So God, if I'm doing something that's bugging you, it's yours. Just give it away. Okay, don't push the limit. And the last one, they live a different life on Sunday than they do the rest of the week. Remember that old Fred Price song? Evidence, evidence. Will there be enough evidence? It was a little bit rockier than that, but is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian on Wednesday as there is on Sunday when you're walking out of church? Is there enough evidence? That's the question. So we don't live a different life. Now, I'm going to show you one last verse. This is the most amazing verse before we put it up. I think everybody, 99.9% of the people who show this verse and talk about it, get it wrong. We've all done it. We've all got it wrong. This is a verse I'm going to show you that's been written to the church at Laodicea. This verse is written to a lukewarm church. These people were saved. They were lukewarm. This is not a verse that was written to people who were not saved. Are you ready? Say, I got to have more than two people up front. We're ready. Okay, here's the verse. Stick it up. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. God wants to do lunch with us for pity's sake. This was never written to unsaved people. This is not a verse for salvation. This is a verse where God is knocking on the door of the Laodicean lukewarm church going, I want in every single area of your life. Let me in. And they've locked him out. They closed the door. They had a barrier between the Lord and him. They locked him out on purpose. Now here's the picture that goes with it. And we always say, there's no handle. There's no handle. God's not going to make you do it. But the Laodicean church had locked him out, and they were lukewarm. They were already saved. Does that make sense? Now, years ago, Bob used to teach at with C. Peter Wagner at Fuller Seminary. And he'd go down several times a year, and they'd teach this doctorate class. Well, a couple times a year, Peter would bring a field trip out here. And they'd go in the sanctuary. We would cook up the most amazing potluck for these young people. Well, they weren't all young, but they were from all over the world. And so they'd have classes all morning. They'd have this big lunch. They'd go on a tour of Hemet. They'd come back. They'd finish up. They'd drive back to Pasadena, Fuller Seminary. So one day, standing out there, and it's freezing cold. We're out in front of the sanctuary, and there's like about 8 students, and they're all talking about what they want to be when they graduate from Fuller. They made a point of telling me, we have decided none of us want to be a pastor. And I'm going like, why not? I go, this is the best job in the world. Why don't you guys want to be a pastor? And they said, well, we've all talked about it, and we don't want to live in a fishbowl. I almost laughed. I said, are you kidding me? I said, here the Apostle Paul says, you guys ought to know this, that we are to be what? An open book read of all men. I said, so what area of your life are you hiding from people? What area don't want you people to see? I said, people come to our house all the time. I found them in my pantry, in my laundry room. They're checking out my dogs. They're in my bathroom. They're outside looking at my chickens. They're in all the bedrooms. They're telling my kids how to do their hair. I said, there's not one single part of our life that we don't want people to be looking at. It's fine with us. They are like Maslow, like this. And finally, one of them said, you know, I have never looked at it like that. He had never looked at it like that. So what area of our lives, how do you have to say, is behind that door? Where I don't want God to see this area. I'm hiding it. There shouldn't be one area. We should all be open books read of all men. And here's the thing. If we want to go from being lukewarm to being on fire, I mean, how many here don't want that? I do. I want to set myself on fire and have people watch me burn. But here's the key to that, and here's what we do wrong. We go, oh, God, take away this terrible habit from me. Oh, God, just take away this addiction. Oh, God, don't let me drive like a maniac anymore. Oh, God, take away my shopping. I shouldn't be shopping this month. Or, God, take my marriage. Take my finances. We go through the list. Take the TV beeper. Take the movies away. Now, the TV beeper, you know, we may be wrestling for that one. But here's the thing. God's not going to take anything away from you. You have to give it. There's not one thing that I've ever not wanted in my life where God goes, give me that bad habit. Because you know what? We'll just run right back to it. You have got to turn it over to God. Now, again, I've had kids and husbands wrestle me for the TV beeper. But other than that, God's never going to wrestle you down for it. You got to turn it over and go, I watch way too much TV. I watch a lot of news. I got to cut down on it. I know once we were at a women's retreat, and I was kind of going on this topic, and I talked about going to R-rated movies. I go, why are we watching that? That should not even be going in our ears and our eyes. It's terrible for us, and I think it is. And I'm telling you, about 2-3 weeks later, a girl came up, and she said, hey, I saw this gal coming out of this R-rated movie at the theater, and the first thing she did was run over and go, don't tell Susan Beckett you saw me here. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I don't care if you watch R-rated movies. I'm just telling you what I'm doing, what Bob does. We're not watching them. And my advice to you as a pastor, don't watch them. They're not good for you. Okay, how many of you have ever heard of Sean Connery? Remember him? This good-looking guy? We'll get his picture up here. He put the girls. Yeah. He's handsome. He's debonair. He played Agent 007 in, what, 6 James Bond movies? Went all over the world making these movies. Well, he gets older. He's not in the movies anymore. He's still alive, by the way, 86. But one day someone asked him, it's like, hey, how come you're no longer, you're still doing movies? You're like, you could retire and lay on the beach and have this amazing life just doing nothing. And he gave an amazing answer. He said this, because when I act, I have the opportunity to be somebody better than I am. I have the opportunity to be something better. And I thought, you know, we have the opportunity today to be somebody better. And we don't have to act. All we have to do is give up some stuff, stop being lukewarm, and let God set us on fire. We don't have to pretend. That's it. And here's the thing. I honestly feel sorry for the church at Laodicea. You know, I look at them, it's like me with the lipstick on. I was clueless. And it says, they had no idea. Jesus said, you think you're okay. But you know what? They were totally deceived. They had no idea that the wealth and the businesses and the medical schools were keeping them from being really on fire for God in a way that they could have used it. Just give it to the Lord. That's all they have to do. Just give it to God. So we're going to have an altar call. We're going to use this door. And I want you to think of this. You know, there's the old song we used to sing. Remember, I Surrender All? I surrender all. I surrender all. Sang it with passion. All to Jesus. I surrender. But here's the thing. It's more like a lot of us are singing. I surrender part. I surrender some. I surrender most. I mean, really? It's hard to surrender everything. But yet, we'd sing it with our eyes closed. I surrender all. I've done it. But you know what? Really, we keep part of it like that. So here's what we're going to do. On your study sheet, there's a little sticky. You know, I think there's something for everybody that we've shut God out behind this door. And I just started praying yesterday, and I thought, between habits and addictions and finances, maybe you're not letting him into medical things or your marriage or your children or big decisions in your life financially. Maybe there's strongholds in your family, and you're going, man, this has been in my family forever. I'm just not letting God in. It is what it is. No. Open the door and walk through and say, God, this is no longer going to be a closed area. So what we're going to do is, all I want you to do is write it if you want to. You don't have to. Write something on that sticky. And what we're going to do is this. We're going to march you up this stair right here, and Frank's going to turn that door around. And all we're going to do, hold on, we're going to take that sticky. It's going to be open. Put it on the door. And then we're going to walk through it and go, God, from now on, this is an open area between me and you in my life. I don't want to keep it closed anymore. I don't want to be lukewarm anymore in my life. It may be something you don't want to write down. Write it in tongues. Write unspoken. I don't want your name on it. Just whatever it is that you want to open that door and go, you know what? No more. I mean, this is the last Sunday in January of 2019. Let's get the rest of the year going right. And I want to see this congregation get on fire for God. By the end of the year, we're going to pack this place out and go, we are taking Hemet. We're taking Moreno Valley. We're taking Temecula. We're taking Murrieta. We're taking Anza. We're taking Green Acres, Val Vista. There's no reason we can't set this valley on fire. All it takes is people that are like, I know how to give a cup of cold water in a good due season. I know how to go, you know what? Here's a Starbucks thing here. Enjoy the hot coffee. But people need to see a church on fire for God. That is what changes lives. That's what sets people free. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to have an altar ministry, and we're finished. If you need, it's like, yeah, I just really need prayer this morning. Great. After you march your little self through that door, up over here, down over here, we're going to go back. We'll dismiss you. Altar ministry is going to be here. Come down and get prayer and go, I have just been hiding this area forever. I put it on the door. I just got to get set free. I want to give this to God. I want God to touch my life in that area. Are you game? So you write it down. Let me pray real quick. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you love us too much to not come to us yourself and say, I love you so much. I'm counseling you. Buy from me gold. Put on my clothes, my garments. Open your eyes that you're going to see. But Lord, we don't want to be lukewarm in these areas any longer. We're giving it to you. I thank you, Father, you're intervening in our life in an awesome way this morning. Change us. Let this be truly the most life-changing day so far of 2019 in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to play.